Hello. I crossed a few things off of my list, but stuff still happened. So what's up? I want you to know up front, this episode is structured such that all the rough stuff is up front, and then it just kind of gets a little lighter there out. So stick with me. Hey, here we go. Hey, it's next day dev. It's the same guy next day. There's a lot that happened over the past few days that's pretty horrific. As I just said, lots of bad stuff up front. It gets better as it goes. I'm actually re-recording this introduction because I wanted to just add in some more stuff real quick. So let's just quick overview of some of the really rough things that happened recently. In Australia at Bondi Beach, there was a mass shooting at a Hanukkah celebration. Very obviously a targeted attack against Jews. It's horrific. And this is not a thing that happens outside of like the US particularly frequently. So it's pretty shocking, to say the least. However, among the mess of this situation, there is a hero that people are celebrating, Ahmed Al-Ahmed, who ran in and disarmed one of the shooters. He took two bullets while doing so and saved who knows how many people. Now, I've seen some weird takes online about people criticizing the guy for not taking the gun that he just took from the shooter and using it to kill the shooter who he just disarmed. He disarmed him. Not everything needs to be solved by shooting somebody with a gun. Or if it was me, I would have shot the guy. Cool. Enjoy the trauma. Like, here's a man who just disarmed someone to save lives, and you're criticizing him for not having taken a life. Thankfully, that's a very small minority of people. Let's talk about Rob Reiner. This literally just kind of happened overnight. Rob Reiner, the famed movie director who directed Princess Bride, was found dead, him and his wife, in his home, in an apparent homicide. We really don't know a whole lot more just yet. That's a thing. There was also a shooting at Brown University here in the States. The shooter is still at large, despite the president of our country stating publicly that the shooter was captured. That was not true. That was not true. There's been an ongoing war in Sudan for years that's been causing a massive humanitarian crisis, possibly the biggest ever. But recently, the RSF, one of the major militias in the area that's basically backed by the UAE, slaughtered 60,000 people in one town over the course of just a few weeks. It's so significant that aid groups can't even get aid there because it's too dangerous. Over 100,000 people are still unaccounted for from all of that. It's a massive crisis, and there's not a whole lot we can do, which makes me feel very powerless, and I'm sure it makes you feel very powerless as well. It's important to know that these are things that are happening, but it's also important to remember that we can't just fix it. Like, that is the problem with being a human. So the first step is being aware that these things are happening, and the next step is making sure folks in your life know as well. It's never a comfortable conversation to have, but we won't ever have change until people are actually aware of how the world works. Thanks for getting through that with me. Let's move on. I promise it gets better. It's going to be rough first, but then it gets better. So the U.S. government under President Trump and his just gaggle of ghouls have been chasing down people in the streets who are not white and demanding immigration papers and then taking them to makeshift prisons. Often there's just no due process whatsoever. Sometimes they're showing up at a courthouse where someone's trying to do their immigration meeting and they get arrested and thrown into a prison. Prisons that have basically no oversight, and in the case of the infamous alligator Alcatraz in Florida, worse oversight than a standard ICE facility. Because alligator Alcatraz, which is actually the Everglades detention facility, is not a federal facility. It's a state facility. The state of Florida is using funds from FEMA to build a concentration camp, and the reports coming out of there are horrific. Now, before I get into that, you might be confused because there was a big story about how a judge had ordered for Alligator Alcatraz to be shut down. That didn't happen because that order was shut down. So it's been a thing, and it is still a thing. Inside the facility are cages packed with 32 people to a cage. Mosquitoes are running rampant. There's basically no working plumbing, so feces are just spilling out of the toilets and seeping everywhere. One of the most eye-popping things to come out of this is literal torture. There's apparently a thing called the box that's like a tiny metal cage that inmates at this facility get strapped into, shackled to, and left out in the elements for hours up to a day at a time. That is torture.
That's torture.
It does not matter anything about anyone's legal immigration status. This is not acceptable. Even the most self-serving take on this should be that, hey, maybe the government shouldn't have the ability to do this to people who have not been found guilty of a crime. Being brown and here at the same time and found by an ICE officer while doing so is not a crime. Meanwhile, over in Texas at Fort Bliss, there's been reports of abuse, sexual abuse, and even forcing detainees to climb over the border wall to secretly deport them. One teenager from that facility was taken to the hospital after guards beat and abused him so badly that he had broken teeth and severe testicular trauma. I don't think that's helping our country. Anyway, the Department of Homeland Security's response is, nuh-uh. Here's a quote from the DHS Assistant Secretary, Trisha McLaughlin. Quote, any claim that there are inhumane conditions at ICE detention centers are categorically false. No detainees are being beaten or abused. Remember the hospitalized inmate? Anyway, moving on, continuing the quote. Quote, no lawbreakers in the history of civilization have been treated better than illegal aliens in the United States. Get a grip. I don't want to just sit here and say that these people are overtly evil. I also don't know what takeaway we're supposed to have besides that. I have watched every day as human lives have been destroyed, and I've been told by our officials to not care about that. And then I see people who are supporting this saying, haha, that's what I voted for. They need to do worse things to these people. Like, hey, that's awful. You're a bad person. But I also want to be very clear that, like, I've seen a lot of tides turning about this, and I've seen a lot more resistance from people who thought that this was going to be different. I don't know why they thought it was going to be different, but they're finally now waking up to the fact that, hey, maybe running on a platform of mass deportation now doesn't result in the best administration. But here is a little bit of good news. We're starting the trend upwards, I promise. Because among all this immigration madness, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man who was, quote, mistakenly deported to the one country he wasn't supposed to be deported to, is back home. As a very quick recap, Kilmar Abrego Garcia was hanging out in front of a Home Depot looking for work when ICE agents arrested him. They used his bull's hat to say that he was a gang member, and then they deported him to CICOT, the torture prison in El Salvador. And then it came out that that was the one country that he was not supposed to be deported to if he was deported, which he wasn't supposed to be. To which the U.S. government was like, he's a gang member. And also now that he's there already, we can't do anything to bring him back. And then he was brought back. Then when he was brought back, the Department of Justice was like, he will never go free on U.S. soil. That's a quote that is wild. This is a dude who is hanging out at a Home Depot looking for work as a day laborer. He's never going to go free on U.S. soil. Come on, you guys. It is embarrassing how much energy has been put into things that don't fucking matter and just make everything worse. So yeah, he gets back here. They're like, he's never going to go free. And the U.S. government continuously tries to deport the man to three different countries, this time in Africa. All the while, Abrego Garcia and his lawyers were saying, hey, he'll move to Costa Rica if you want him to. And officials from Costa Rica were like, sure, yeah, we'll take him. To which ICE was like, no, that's not on the table. It has to be an African country for reasons. Essentially, the government fucked up real bad. And because we know that nobody in this administration can ever admit fault on anything, they just double, triple, quadruple down on this random dude claiming that he's this hardened criminal. And at this point, they can't back off because they've already made it so clear. They've staked their claim on deporting this one guy who wasn't supposed to be deported. Because if there is a guy who is that color and was deported and brought back because, hey, he wasn't supposed to be deported, that breaks their narrative. Their narrative being that everyone who's that color deserves to be deported. Anyway, this is all kind of still ongoing. Kilmar is still not totally free. He's basically on house arrest. He has to check in with ICE, although a judge has signed a thing saying ICE can't arrest him, but it's ICE. We'll see. Let's let's move on. Let's keep that upward trend. McDonald's in the Netherlands. I don't know why I hopped. I'm not that excited about McDonald's generally. So McDonald's Netherlands, like specifically the Dutch arm of McDonald's, published an AI-generated ad that caught so much flack that they have already taken it down. The ad was essentially a bunch of clips of like fails, like fail video kind of stuff, just like unfortunate situations set to a remix of it's the most wonderful time of the year, where they were saying it's the most awful, terrible time of the year. Who cares? Point being, it was a bad idea and the commercial was creepy and people didn't like it at all. Beyond being AI slop, it also was just an uncomfortable commercial. So understandably so, it got a whole bunch of pushback and people were like, this is awful. Like, this is terrible. Please take this down. And the studio behind the ad gave the worst defense imaginable. The production company, The Sweet Shop, had this to say in their defense. Quote, "For 7 weeks, we hardly slept with up to 10 of our in-house AI and post specialists at the Gardening Club, our in-house AI engine, working in lockstep with the directors. We generated what felt like dailies, thousands of takes, then shaped them in the edit just as we would on any high-craft production." That response from the company has mysteriously disappeared from their website. I wonder why. We were up all night asking this computer to plagiarize things. So that was the McDonald's ad, and that got pulled. But Coca-Cola did their second annual Christmas ad this year, generated with AI. Last year they did one and it got some criticism, people being like, this is soulless and plasticky. And then they did it again because soullessness and plastic, the American way. Now, for whatever reason, the Coke commercial this time around, it didn't get as much backlash as the McDonald's one. But something I learned when I was digging into this was that Coke essentially humble brags about having made Santa popular. Now, it's a humble brag because on Coca-Cola's website, there's a page that's like, are we responsible for Santa being a thing? And they're like, no, we just popularized it. They argue that that the reason that Santa is how we know him today is because they commissioned an artist to do a bunch of ads for Coke that depicted Santa as the way he is today. And that was distributed all over the place because Coke ads. They did not invent the original Santa, and also it's debatable as to whether or not their ads are the reason that people know Santa today, but what a claim! Anyway, I don't think that we need this. I don't think we need this. I don't think that we need AI to generate commercials. I don't think, do we, like, the human race, do we need this? I don't think so. I'm not certain. But let's go over to the gamer place. Here we go. Now we're in the gamer place. Cool. Welcome to the gamer space. We're going to talk about the Game Awards. The Game Awards are kind of shitty. It's just like an industry event that's pretty shitty. But it's kind of all we got right now, ever since E3 was ejected from this world. So who won? Expedition 33 won everything, basically. Not literally everything, but let's see here. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 won Game of the Year, Best Art Direction, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Score, Best Performance, that's for Jennifer English, Best Indie Game, Best Debut Indie Game, and Best RPG. I may have missed something, can't count much past that. Let's talk about what was announced, because first things first, we're getting a new Divinity game from Larian. Larian made their big announcement, which involved a statue in the desert. I don't really fully understand, but they put a statue in a desert and they were like, look at this statue. What could this be? And then people were like, I don't know. What could that be? And then it turned out that it had something to do with the reveal of this new game. Cool. Point being, Larian Studios, the company that made Baldur's Gate 3, is making a new mainline entry in their series Divinity. It's another RPG series very similar to Baldur's Gate. Only they said that this was going to be even bigger than Baldur's Gate 3. So that's cool. There's a bunch of other announcements. Here's a handful of things that I had a non-zero reaction to. There's going to be a sequel to Control called Control Resonant. You'll be able to play as Leon Kennedy in the upcoming Resident Evil Requiem game. Leon! There's going to be two new Tomb Raider games because one wasn't enough. It's too many tombs. One of them is a remaster of like the original game. Not really a remaster, like a reimagination, I guess. They're making a new mainline Mega Man game. Yo, got a new trailer for the Street Fighter movie, which I forgot was happening. and it looks wild, and I'm expecting it to be terrible. I'm here for it. Also, a new D&D themed RPG that seems to be about being a warlock. So it's sort of like me. I'm a warlock. Pew! That was magic. Lightning round. A hiker did the meme, fell into some quicksand, and was rescued from said quicksand after using like a GPS SOS thing. Quicksand's real, y'all. It happened. After losing power to both engines, a small plane made an emergency landing on I-95 in Florida, landing directly on a driving car. Everyone's okay, but the guy driving that car, I can't even imagine. Like, I would never get in a car again. It turns out just a few weeks prior to the U.S. raiding an oil tanker off of Venezuela, we also raided a cargo ship that was headed to China. Just did that too. Going from Iran to China, and we were just like, that's ours now. Yo-ho, I guess. I'm not a huge fan of that in particular. And finally for today, someone's house in California done dang exploded. And it was captured on video from a doorbell camera, but it's gone. House was there, and then it was not. It was because of a gas leak from construction. Hey, maybe gas is a bad idea. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a primer on how to make your own quicksand to trap hikers. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.